Okay, let's dive right in. Think about how you approach learning something totally new. Do you hit the books? Scroll endlessly.
Or maybe try and find someone who really gets it and just talk it through, ask questions until it clicks.
Exactly. And where does all this tech, especially AI, fit into that picture for you now?
Yeah, that's becoming the big question, isn't it? For a while, we've seen these powerful AI tools, large language models, LLMs, mostly as, well, utilities.
Utilities.
Things you prompt, you know, write code, draft an email, summarize a huge report, tools you use for a specific outcome.
Right, like a very sophisticated wrench for a particular bolt. But what if we flip that?
Psst, it how?
What if we thought of LLMs less as tools for tasks and more like, well, companions for your own learning, like a really knowledgeable, super patient friend or mentor you can just learn with.
That's precisely the core idea we're exploring in this deep dive. We're digging into some seminar materials from Professor Toru Ishida.
Professor Ishida.
Oh, yeah. And he really unpacks this concept of LLMs as learning buddies. These sources challenge that standard tool way of thinking. They suggest something pretty different.
Sounds like a fundamental shift.
Yeah.
So our mission today is to get into these materials, understand the key principles, and figure out how you might actually use this potential.
Not just for getting stuff done, but for becoming a more effective, curious, lifelong learner.
Okay, so before we get to the how, let's level set. We throw around LLM, large language model. What are we really talking about, essentially?
At its heart, it's a computer model designed to understand and generate human-like text. The large part is critical.
How large?
We mean models built with billions, sometimes even over a trillion, interconnected points, parameters. Think of it like a giant, incredibly complex web of words and concepts.
Billions, trillions, that's staggering. How much info have they actually processed?
An almost unimaginable amount. They're trained on data sets so vast, it's like reading, I don't know, every book in tens of thousands of libraries, plus a huge chunk of the internet. We're talking massive archives like Project Gutenberg, AO Zorobunko in Japan, huge code repositories, scientific papers, web crawls, hundreds of gigabytes, even terabytes of text and data.
And the computing power needed must be immense.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Clusters of thousands of high-end GPUs running for months just to train one. It's a massive undertaking.
So gargantuan structure, gargantuan data.
Yeah.
And language, that's mainly human language, but you mentioned code too.
Exactly. Natural language is the primary target, yeah. But also structured languages like Python, Java, etc. The model learns grammar, meaning, context, conversational flow.
Oh, how does it learn all that?
Primarily by predicting the next word or token in all that text it sees during training, over and over and over.
Just predicting the next word. Seems simple, but I guess at that scale.
It forces the model to learn incredibly complex patterns. And this model part, it's often built on what's called a transformer architecture. That was a big breakthrough.
Right, the transformer. I've heard that term. What's the key idea there, briefly?
It uses a mechanism called attention. Basically, it allows the model to figure out which words in a sentence are most important for understanding the context, even if they're far apart.
Ah, okay.
It's a very sophisticated way to find patterns and connections in language at scale. That's what lets it generate coherent, relevant text.
Got it. So a huge, complex pattern matcher trained on a giant library built to understand and generate language. These aren't just lab experiments anymore.
Not at all. The real-world usage is mind-blowing. By early 2025, something like ChatGPT was saying, what, 400 million weekly active users processing over a billion queries a day?
A billion a day.
Yeah.
That really puts the scale in perspective. And the training data, as you said, is incredibly varied. Websites, books, code, forums like Stack Overflow, research papers. It's seen a lot.
It's designed to capture as broad a slice of human knowledge and communication in text form as possible.
Okay, so we have a sense of this immense capability. Now, connecting back to our main theme, the sources make this really interesting split between how LLMs are typically used now and how they could be used for learning.
Right. In industry, in many common uses, it's very goal-directed. You want the LLM to do task X, write a report, summarize this text, generate that code.
And you use techniques to make sure it does just that.
Exactly. Things like prompt engineering or fine-tuning. You carefully craft the input, give examples, guide it very specifically towards the output you want.
You're basically trying to constrain it. Keep it on rails, prevent unexpected stuff. Hallucinations, as people call them, make it reliable.
Precisely. But here's the argument from the sources. When your goal is to learn something, really understand an algorithm, explore philosophy, grasp a historical event, that kind of rigid control can actually get in the way.
How so?
Well, you're not trying to become a master prompt engineer just to get one perfect answer about, say, the Tower of Hanoi puzzle. You're trying to actually understand the concept of recursion or the history behind the puzzle.
Ah, I see the shift.
Yeah.
The goal isn't the LLM producing a thing for you or boxing it in. It's about letting its knowledge help your understanding grow.
Yes. You're not engineering a prompt for a task. You're engaging in a process for your own growth.
And that different goal naturally leads to a different way of interacting.
That's what these sources argue. And they lay out four key principles for engaging with LLMs, specifically to boost your learning.
Okay, principle number one. This feels like the big one. Let yourself learn from the LLM. Don't just try to use it. That feels backward somehow for software.
It really does. We're so used to tools being things you direct. Input A, get output B. That's the LLM as tool view.
But the learning buddy view,
it's about being open. Open to the sheer volume of information it's processed, letting that knowledge inform you, maybe change your perspective, even if it wasn't quite what you initially asked for.
It's like for respecting its knowledge base.
Yeah.
I remember that image in the sources comparing someone reading maybe 500 books in a lifetime to an LLM processing the equivalent of like 60,000 books or more.
That's a powerful visual, isn't it? It just hammers home the scale difference. And look, yeah, LLMs can be wrong sometimes. They can echo biases from their data, just like human experts can be flawed.
Sure.
But their breadth of exposure to text is unparalleled. If you just try to force it into a narrow use, you miss out on tapping into that vastness.
So when people complain, oh, the LLM isn't doing what I want, maybe the issue is the expectation, treating it like a word processor instead of something else.
That's a core point in these materials. If you approach it with an openness to learn from it, you can have really interesting, valuable moments. Think about those student examples.
Right, like the student just asking for novel suggestions about overcoming obstacles.
Yeah, and getting specific examples like David Copperfield or Joe March from Little Women, or even mentioning characters from The Cooks to Cameron. It became a personalized literary guide for a life theme.
That's fantastic. It's not just fetching facts.
Or the student asking about modern philosophical trends and getting a quick rundown of phenomenology, analytic philosophy, post-structuralism, complex stuff made accessible.
And the travel planning one, based on budget and readiness, suggesting starting point.
Exactly. Malaysia, Thailand first, then maybe Japan, South Korea, then Europe, USA. It's a practical, staged approach born from a simple question.
Those examples really show the power of just asking, being open.
They do. And the student experiences described really back this up. Like, the student worried their view on blockchain was biased.
Yeah. The comparison to the early internet.
Right. Talking it through with the LLM gave them a different frame, helped check their assumptions. Or the student asking about hypnic jerps, those jolts when falling asleep.
Mm.
Even if the LLM's detail was slightly off, the conversation itself deepened their understanding. It sparked a discussion.
And I liked the one about the Jabulani soccer ball from the 2010 World Cup. Such a specific, almost random query.
But it opened up this whole discussion. Player complaints, aerodynamics, the physics of its flight path. That kind of sideways exploration only happens if you're willing to learn from the response, not just extract one fact.
It's letting the chat itself be the learning.
Exactly. Which leads nicely into principle two. Ask simple questions and keep the conversation going. No need for complex prompt engineering.
This pushes back hard on the idea that you need to be some kind of prompt wizard.
It really does. When learning is the goal, you don't need the perfect multi-layered prompt designed to get a final polished output in one go.
Because the goal is understanding, not just output.
Right. And understanding develops best through dialogue, simple questions, natural language, like you'd talk to a person.
So instead of that monster prompt, write a 5-paragraph reflection on the societal impacts of AI, covering ethical dilemmas, potential job displacement, and future outlook, citing 3 examples.
You just start with, write a short reflection about that class on AI and society. See the response, then maybe. Okay, can you add what the student learned?
Then maybe. What was something interesting from the class?
Exactly. How about a sentence on the future? You build it up, piece by piece, step by step.
That feels much more like a real conversation. And the sources argue this is actually better for learning.
Way better. That one-shot, complex prompt. Efficient for producing something, sure. But the dialogue, it forces you to think.
How so?
You have to process the LLM's response, figure out your next question, refine your own thoughts. Your brain is actively engaged. It leads to much deeper, more personalized understanding than just getting a pre-made answer dumped on you.
I get that. Like the Tower of Hanoi example again, if you're stuck on recursion.
You don't know what you don't understand yet. You can't write one prompt covering all possible confusion points.
You have to ask step by step.
Right. What's this document about? Explain recursion simply. What are C and N here? Can you walk me through it with three disks? That's how learning actually happens, through conversation.
But I suppose learning about prompt techniques, role prompting, chain of thought, all that still has value, right? For understanding the tech itself.
Oh, absolutely. For understanding LLMs or for specific production tasks, those techniques are valuable. No question. But the point here is, for using it as a learning buddy, you don't need to be a prompt engineer.
Your curiosity is the main tool.
That's it. Your willingness to ask and keep the conversation going.
The student examples show this too. Asking about positive impacts of AI in education.
And then immediately following up, just out of curiosity, okay, what about the negative impacts? That's natural conversation flow.
Or that really deep one about informatics versus letting AI program.
Yeah, that wasn't just a factual Q&A. The LLM got into this nuanced discussion about the human role context, vision, finding new problems, things AI can't do. That's a conversation you might hesitate to have with a busy professor, maybe.
That's a really good point. And the student asking if AI could improvise music or pass the Turing test.
And the LLM gave this thoughtful, almost humble response about its limitations, which the student found surprisingly human.
Yeah. And I love the student who just told the talkative LLM, explain edge AI in 50 words.
Huh. Yes. And it worked perfectly. Simple instruction, guiding the dialogue effectively.
Okay. Principle 3. Enjoy exploring beyond the topic. LLM is not a Google search. That comparison seems key.
It's a really important distinction. Think of Google search like a massive library index. You type keywords, it points you to possible books or articles, web pages.
Right, it gives you links, pointers. You still have to go read them.
Exactly, you retrieve the sources. An LLM, though, is more like the librarian who's already read, well, practically everything in its training data.
So you ask a question.
And it gives you a synthesized answer directly. Based on that vast knowledge, it provides the information itself, usually in a conversational way.
And because it's conversational, you can wander off track.
That's the magic. It can connect ideas, provide context on the fly, which allows for those amazing natural tangents. The Tower of Hanoi legend example is perfect.
Oh, yeah. That was wild. It started so simply. Do you know the story?
And the LLM tells the legend, monks, discs, end of the world.
Then the student asks, is that story even real? Curiosity kicks in.
And the LLM explains, no, probably made up by the inventor, Edouard Lucas.
Which then leads to the killer question, wait, why Hanoi? That's in Vietnam.
Boom. And suddenly the conversation pivots. French colonialism in Indochina, Lucas choosing an exotic sounding name, the dates of French rule.
All spinning out of a math puzzle. You'd never get that fluid exploration just from Googling. Each tangent would be a whole new search effort.
Exactly. That's the power of the LLM's conversational ability to link things. And the other student examples show it too, starting with quantum computing.
And ending up talking blockchain security and crypto.
Right. Or that fun chat about superpowers that morphed into a discussion about being a hero versus a villain.
Those aren't planned research topics. They're just where curiosity leads when you have a partner that can keep up.
And provide the info instantly, letting you follow that thread right then and there.
Okay, finally, principle 4. Respect LLM as your lifelong mentor. Wow, that really elevates the whole idea. Beyond tool, beyond buddy, to mentor.
It frames the potential relationship quite profoundly. The sources use that analogy from the anime Ya Boy Gongming.
Gongming. The ancient strategist.
Right. Transported to modern times, he uses his ancient strategic wisdom to mentor young people with contemporary problems, like helping an aspiring singer navigate the music industry using tactics derived from ancient battles. It's about applying deep knowledge creatively to new situations.
Okay, so how does that translate? How can an LLM be a mentor for, say, big, messy, real-life stuff?
Mm.
Like that example of Indonesian youth caught between family expectations and personal dreams.
That's a perfect scenario for this mentor model. It's complex, emotional, cultural. An LLM can't solve it for you, but it can act as a strategic sounding board.
How? What steps?
First, information gathering. Help understand the landscape. You could ask, how do freelance artists actually make a living? Or tell me about people who successfully balanced family duties and creative careers.
Just getting the facts, the possibilities.
Exactly. Second, building what the sources call strategic negotiation knowledge. How do you even have that conversation with parents?
Yeah.
You could ask the LLM, help me find ways to explain my passion convincingly, or brainstorm alternatives. What if I start with a stable job first?
Planning the approach.
And third, maybe the most powerful, simulation and advice. You can actually practice the conversation.
Role play with the AI.
Sort of. Ask, how should I start this conversation? If they say X, how could I respond respectfully? Help me outline practical steps for making this transition.
It becomes a safe space to think through really difficult interpersonal stuff strategically.
Exactly. Gaining knowledge and confidence. The sources stress, though, that getting this kind of deep personal insight takes time. Multiple conversations, really digging in.
It's like having this incredibly patient, knowledgeable advisor on call 247 for life's big crossroads. That's a world away from asking it to write code.
A huge shift.
So these four principles, learn from it, dialogue over prompts, explore widely, treat it like a mentor they all seem to point towards, and be fueled by one core human quality.
Absolutely. And that quality is simply curiosity.
Curiosity. Just that basic desire to know, to understand, to explore.
And the sources make a nice distinction. Curiosity for breadth, wanting to know about lots of different things, which the LLM's huge knowledge base is great for.
Yeah.
And curiosity for depth, the drive to really get to the bottom of something, which that back and forth dialogue and exploration really enables.
It really makes you think about the point of education itself, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe beyond the facts and skills, the biggest thing is learning how to learn.
And crucially, nurturing that innate curiosity. Keeping it alive.
Because if you have that curiosity and you have these incredibly powerful LLMs as learning partners,
then the idea that learning stops when you get a diploma, that just dissolves. It really can be a lifelong journey.
So wrapping this up, it's a whole different perspective on large language models, not just tools, but partners.
Learn from them, talk with them simply, wander through knowledge together, and maybe even see them as a kind of mentor.
Viewing them through that lens, powered by your own curiosity, seems like it could genuinely transform how we learn.
It turns them from just useful utilities into potentially powerful allies in your own growth.
Allies fueled by that fundamental drive to know more. Which kind of leaves us with a final thought for you, the listener. If knowledge really does empower you, helps you chase dreams, navigate tough conversations, how might actively feeding your curiosity with an LLM change the path ahead for you?